He's the head. He's God. He's ruling and reigning, and he's chosen to do it by his Spirit through his body, the church. All of our authority comes from being the body of Christ connected to the headship of Jesus Christ. Right? He's the brains behind it. He's the one who enforces it. He's the authority. So if God is truly in it, it will be a yes and amen. Do you think there's any devil who could stop the authority of Christ? No. So we need to really realize we've got to be in this perfect will of God. We have to really understand who he is. All he's asking us to do is to trust him and to die to self and be led by his Spirit. And that is where you'll get authority. That death to self and led by the Spirit of God. The Bible says those who are sons and daughters, God, the whole world's waiting for the sons and the daughters to be revealed. So let's see what we have next. So that's pretty strong about where authority comes from. And you don't ever want to leave that out, that this thing is about Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10:8. Let's just go to 2 Corinthians 10. I always like to do at least the whole section, if not the whole book. I'd rather do the whole book, but we don't have time for that. Okay. And I myself, Paul, call on you through the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who indeed to look upon am lowly among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I ask, not being present, that I may be bold with the confidence which I think to be daring against some, the ones reckoning us as walking according to flesh. For walking about in flesh, we do not war according to flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but they're powerful to God, to the demolishing of strongholds. Okay, this is really powerful when we're looking at a spiritual warfare teaching. Now, we've seen this in Ephesians, and we've talked about that already in the series. But we want to see what he's talking about here. Basically, he's saying, you know what? These people are talking around saying we're in the flesh. People say Paul's in the flesh. That's not of God. And Paul is saying here that I'm just writing this letter with a full confidence that even the anointing on this letter is going to deal with some of the lies and some of the things that are being spread about me to hurt this Corinthian church. And he's saying, you know, I may be in flesh. We're in flesh, okay? We live in bodies. So if someone tells you they're not in flesh, get the revelation that unless they're walking through walls in a glorified body, they're in flesh. So we are in flesh. And we don't war according to the flesh. In other words, we do not war according to what people are saying about us. We do not war according to what people are trying to provoke us to do. We don't war that way. We don't attack people. We don't blame people. We don't point at people. We don't fight that way. Because the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they're powerful to God to tear down strongholds. So one way to demolish strongholds, to have authority and to do warfare, you have to get to the strongholds. You have to learn to pray in the Spirit. You have to get the things out of your own heart. You have to get that stronghold out of your heart to have authority to get it out of someone else. You got to get the log out of your eye to touch the splinter. And these are all scriptures, okay? So the key when you don't have authority is to go to God and say, can you show me what's in my heart that's causing me not to have victory here, that's causing me not to have authority here? Show me what's in my heart, God, that is going on in this other person that gets me so angry. I don't have the grace. I don't have the authority over this. God, get it out of my heart. Show me what it is. It's so powerful. If you would just learn that, you would be amazed at how quickly relationships would change. You would be amazed at how quickly everything would turn around. Whatever's coming at you that you don't have grace for, that can trigger something in you to react, God wants you to deal with what's in you that's reacting. The flesh, warring the flesh, would have you attack them and try to stop them from triggering what's in you. But God's not trying to get you to change them. God's letting you know that thing in you has got to go. That's a stronghold. He wants it out. So he's going to teach us to demolish these strongholds. We're going to cast down imaginations and every high thing lifting up itself against the knowledge of God. We're going to bring into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. This is powerful. This is powerful. This is so powerful. We have so much teaching to help you on this. We just encourage people who are listening to this or getting a hold of this teaching for the first time, please call our office and get one of the kits or one of our inner healing kits, or so we can get this teaching to you. We have to really learn these things. We have to do this, okay? We have to cast down imaginations. And every high thing means every high idea, every high thought, every high concept, every high-minded, we got a teaching called high-minded. People need to get that. Every high-minded thing, everything that lifts itself up against the knowledge of God, everything that's greater than the true knowledge of who God is, the true gospel, the true understanding of Christ and what he's done, every single thing that doesn't line up with truth is to be cast down. Every thought in your head that doesn't line up with God's word needs to be cast down. You can't feed these things into your own thinking and then wonder why you don't think right. Satan has to get into your thinking to get control of your mind. And God wants to cast it down. I don't believe it. The enemy wants to get into your thinking that you're going to die of sickness. The devil wants to get into your thinking that your child's going to go to hell. The devil wants to get into your thinking that your marriage is over. The devil wants to get into your thinking. He is going to work overtime. He has to plant those seeds in you to bring it to pass. And he's going to use fear. He's going to use lines of inequity from generational curses. He's going to do whatever he can to get you in agreement with him against the power of God. He's going to build up strongholds. He's going to build up strongholds or lies that you believe is truth. Strongholds are lies that you believe is truth. As long as you believe that that is truth, it becomes your truth. And you've given Satan your authority. You've given Satan your authority. The authority you have in Christ. See, Christ and the Word are one. The Bible says, you know, we did a whole teaching at the beginning of this Bible study called The Power of the Word. You've got to understand, when God says it and releases it, it's Jesus himself who proclaimed it, declared it, revealed it, and showed it by the Holy Spirit, and that's where the power is. The power and the authority is in the Word of God, and the Word of God is in the relationship that God and his Word are one. It's not about a mental thing that you do using the Word of God, although renewing your mind is good and speaking truth is good. It's about a revelation in your spirit, man, that God is real, that Jesus lives inside of me, that I have a relationship with him, that he is an awesome God. I'm in love with him. He is my all in all. And in that place of intimacy and oneness and abiding in him, I become his bride, which gives me his authority, because I'm only going to speak what he wants me to speak. It's going to line up with his word, because him and his word are one. I'm going to cast down every imagination, everything Satan says to me that doesn't line up with the truth of God's word, I don't receive. Then when fear attacks me, perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love can only come when I am falling in love with Jesus, when I trust him more, when I see his hand in my life, when I see how he's delivered me, when I think of the miracles he's done, when I know it's real, and that battle goes on. How can you believe God? Well, I believe God because the word says so. I believe God because I've seen him change me. I believe him because he's real. And you do warfare in your mind. You cast down the lies. You bring in the truth. And we have a teaching that's come out recently about the shield and the sword, and the shield of the spirit and the sword and the power of God's word. And that's part of this whole series. And so I really encourage you to get a hold of all that. But do you see how real this is? We are to cast down imaginations. Everything. What's an imagination? Anything that comes against God's word. If somebody, you know, if the devil puts in your, or doctor says, you're going to die of this, that's an imagination. I'm casting that down. I understand where you're coming from. I'm understanding what you're seeing. And I thank you for what you're seeing. But I'm going to go and spend time with God, because his love is going to get rid of the fear that what you're saying might happen to me. And this stuff is real. If you've ever walked through this, like I've walked through it with my son being healed, this stuff is real. These imaginations attack. And sometimes we just have to get out of our American lazy lifestyle of wanting somebody else to pray for us, somebody else to cast something out of us, somebody else, you know, just let me call the prayer chain, la, 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 which, you know, and then I don't do anything. No, you, if it's real and you're the one given authority and you're the one God's calling into this, you need to do all and then stand. You need to pray till you know that you know that you know that you have it. Once you know that you know that you know that you have something, like I've known I've had my son's healing for quite a few years now, and I'm still allowing God to work in me. He even showed me something last night, and my son's getting more, you know, it's getting closer and closer, the complete breakthrough and the revelation for the body of Christ that God's given me in that. But truthfully, I've not worried about him dying, like the doctors had said, for years. But some of you have been on the journey with me since it started almost, and there were times when I had to pray and cry out, and everybody was praying, the whole church was praying, we were seeking God. You know, I had to break through. I couldn't just pretend that I knew that I knew. I couldn't just take it as, okay, I know this will be okay, and close my eyes and pretend it's going to be okay. I had to break through, and the key was that perfect love that casts out the fear. The key was trusting God, knowing I could believe God, knowing that what he was showing me and telling me was changing me to such a place to give me authority. I mean, this isn't some made-up doctrine that we've hip-hip. There's so much pep rallies in the church today. Have you noticed that? There's so much hoopla and pep rallies and naming and claiming it and just declaring, you know, the prophetic thing is declaring it, the faith thing is naming and claiming it. The truth is, folks, what you say doesn't matter unless it's coming from intimacy with the Lord. That's where the authority is. That's where the power is. That's where the relationship, that's that perfect love that casts out fear. Why are we so afraid to fall in love with Jesus? It's a great thing. It's an awesome thing. It's what he rent the veil for us to do. It's why he went to the cross. But Satan has wounded so many people with wrong relationships. He's wounded so many people where they wanted to love and trust somebody and they were hurt. So that independence in us, that fear of relationships, there is such a fear that if I'm not in control and I'm not in charge, something bad's going to happen. And the truth is, if you are in control and you are in charge, something bad has already happened. The key is us not being in control and not being in charge and watching God work through our vessels to reveal his authority, to reveal his power for his glory. And our place is just to be in Christ. Like I said, there's doctrine out there about dominating doctrine. He's like, oh, you're going in the wrong direction. You're trying to do a takeover out of your fear. You're trying to do a takeover in your selfish ambition. God just wants you to let go and trust him. He's going to work that in you. And it sounds great, and it is great. But that dying to the flesh, that dying to fear, that really being strong in who we really are in Christ is really a process of maturity. It's a process of trusting God, walking through, being obedient, and doing the things his word declares. And it's certainly a process of reading the word and getting in the anointing, getting in the presence of God. It's a combination of sitting in his presence. The Bible says that the Lord looks for those who worship him in spirit and truth. And there's a lot going on where they're worshiping in spirit, but they're not bringing in the truth. And then you have a lot of people who are all into the truth, but not into the spirit. God is looking for people, and the key to authority and the key to overcoming and the key to victory is worshiping him, the Lord Jesus Christ, in spirit, with my spirit, one with his spirit, abiding in him, hanging out with him, feeling his presence, letting him saturate me, letting him get everything out that needs to be out, as I am in his word, as I am seeking the truth of God's word and the gospel. Why is his gospel not enough? What is it that is making people want to go after new teaching that has no real truth in the word of God? Because of selfish ambition, jealousy, contention, all these things will destroy your authority in Christ. God's got to come in and really deal with our hearts. He's got to come in and circumcise our hearts. He's got to come in and take away the fear and take away the trying to prove something. So much of the doctrine out there is about proving who we are. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. How much do I have to prove? But God, just there's just such this push still because we haven't really learned who we are in Christ. We haven't really learned who He is, how awesome He is, how great He is, how faithful He is, how truthful He is. And we are desperately still trying to prove something about us when it's not about us. It's about our awesome God. It's about this Jesus who took stripes and beatings for us to be healed. It's about this Jesus who tasted death and the grave so that we never would have to. It's about this awesome Jesus who did everything needed, took all the torment, took everything, took it all to the grave so that we could be set free. It's about who He is, not who we are. I'm not near as concerned about who I am in Christ as I am about Christ in me, the hope of glory, as I am about abiding in Him and experiencing Him and enjoying Him. I was created for His good pleasure. And in that place, in the book of James, it says, I'll show you my works. I'll show you my faith by my works. I'll let you see what being with Christ has produced in my life. Healings, miracles, love, a changed heart, a changed attitude. And God is just wanting to get us to this kind of maturity. He's really just wanting to get us to this maturity. I didn't even get to what I'm getting to. 2 Corinthians 10. I haven't even gotten close to what I'm getting to. All right, let me go on. All right, we're at verse 6, 2 Corinthians 10, 6. Having readiness to avenge all disobedience whenever your obedience is fulfilled. I see this scripture as when the enemy attacks and he won't listen, I punish him. I avenge him. Devil, how dare you come to one of our meetings? You have no authority here. And I personally ask the Lord to give him that pun, to give whatever demon's bugging us or bugging the meeting or trying to keep me awake or whatever, I just say, Lord, give him the punishment of Satan on Judgment Day. Well, that's not in the Bible. The Bible says ask anything, believing without doubting. They don't know. I don't know. We'll all find out. I have nothing to lose by threatening the enemy with the worst possible punishment there is. And I mean it. And I notice I'm not re-attacked over and over by the same devils. I want them more afraid of me and my relationship with God. I want them more afraid of my oneness with God and my bridegroom king and my heavenly father, my Abba, on Judgment Day than what they think maybe the rules are. You know, if you look at the scriptures and that horrible King Herod. Well, no, let's go to better scriptures. Look at the scriptures where Solomon, what was it? Where Solomon would give up half of his kingdom. I'll give you anything, anything. How much more would God give to us? And with the scriptures, all the times of the kings falling in love with women, with these women, and offering them half, even up to half the kingdom, all these different things. How awesome is this Lord that if we just want to avenge the enemy that's tormented us, that would dare touch the bride of Christ. So I don't call it unbiblical. Do what you want. What can it hurt? I believe it. I just happen to believe on that day when however God judges all these demons, and they're already condemned, there's no question. But when He gives the amount of punishment, I believe there's going to be a whole group of them called up. And they're going to say, what do they all have in common? We bothered Cindy Foster. We attacked her. Ooh, we gave her that dream that one time. Ooh, we were there when her daughter died. Ooh, we did this. All nasty looking as they are. I just think my bridegroom King's going to say, Cindy, my bride, come here. Part of my bride, come here. Do you see these? They're all the ones that you asked me to give the punishment of Satan to. Because they would dare attack you, your family, the ministry I gave you, the people I brought to you. And I thought that was so good. That showed such faith. That was so bold. I'm going to do what you said. And I believe all the angels are going to come and get them, and it's going to be a mess for those guys. I just believe God thinks that I'm all that in a bag of potato chips. I just believe he's just smitten with me. I just think he just loves it when we step out trusting him and believing him, and we're not afraid of devils, but we want devils to be afraid of us. Not because of who we are, but because of who we're engaged to, because of who our daddy is. How dare you? How dare you bring sickness? How dare you attack my son? How dare you attack the ministry? How dare you attack my marriage? How dare you attack this? How dare you? I want the devil to be on the defensive and not the offensive in my life anymore. And we need to rise up and realize that's who we can be in Christ Jesus. We need to really rise up. Anyway, verse 7. Do you look at things according to appearance? If anyone has persuaded himself to be of Christ, let him think this again as to himself, that as he is of Christ, so also we are of Christ. For even if I also somewhat more fully should boast about our authority, here we're getting to authority. Even though he's saying, even as an apostle, I should boast about my authority. Now here's the key. Which the Lord gave to us for building up and not for your destruction. I will not put to you shame, so that I may not seem to frighten you by letters. They say the letters are weighty and strong, but the bodily present is weak, and his speech is despised. Let such a one think this, that such as we are in word through letters, being absent, such we are also being present indeed. For we dare not rank or compare ourselves. Folks, this is covering. This is all contention. Why don't we just serve each other by his grace according to his will? Why don't we be biblical and not rank and compare ourselves? Where is some of this doctrine coming from? We're not to lord it over. We're not to rank. It says, for we dare not. Dare not. That means there is no way I'm going to become part of any kind of doctrine that ranks and compares believers. For we dare not rank or compare ourselves with some of those commending themselves. But they measuring themselves among themselves and comparing themselves to themselves are not perceptive. But we will not boast beyond measure, but according to the measure of the rule which the God of measure distributed to us to reach even to you. For we do not outstretch ourselves as if not reaching to you, for we also came to you in the gospel of Christ, not boasting beyond measure in the labors of others, but having hope that the growing faith among you will be made larger according to our rule to overflowing, in order to preach the gospel to that beyond you, not to boast in another's rule and things made ready, but the one glorying, let him glory in the Lord. For not the one commending himself is the one approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. And I'm not going to get to the rest. He goes on and all about all the things he's done and this and that. But there's contention. He's talking about contention. Like, wait a minute, we're the big shots. No, we're the big shots. You better do what we say. Who do you think you are? Well, have you seen what we've done? And what he's saying here, look, the authority that I have, God has given me not to destroy you, not to hurt you, not to control you, not to put you down, but to build you up. And I'm not going to get into this contention. I'm not going to get into this jealousy. I'm not going to deal with that. But you had better, if you read the whole letter, he's basically, you had better seek the Lord and find out who has been given authority to pour into your life. Who has God placed in your life? Because this isn't a competition. So I just wanted you to see, as we're teaching on authority, that Paul has been given authority to build up and to edify here. He's been given authority to help people, to minister to people, to come alongside people and help them grow in Christ. And there's already in the Corinthian church all this contention, deciding who's who and who's what and ranking each other and comparing each other. My goodness, does that not sound like the church today? And Paul's just saying, this isn't right. This isn't how God has it set up. So I just really want you guys to see that about authority. We're going to pick this up next week and look in 2 Corinthians 13 and some in Ephesians.